Hey, everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is May 2nd. Today, we're going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me block. We're going to continue in Mosiah chapter 5. But before we get into specific verses today, I wanted to talk just a little bit more about the conversion of the people of King Benjamin. It's so interesting. A while ago, I was talking to my husband, and we were talking specifically about this discourse. And he said, man, I want to be converted like the people of King Benjamin were converted. And I was so shocked by that because if you know my husband, you know that he is extremely converted, that he is one of the most Christ-like people I've ever known. He is just incredibly good and kind and tries to be obedient in everything that he does. And so that was a shock to me that he felt like these people had some level of conversion that he didn't have. And so we took a look at Mosiah chapter 5, verse 2, specifically the end of verse 2, where it describes their conversion as they had no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And I thought that sentence perfectly describes my husband. He wants to just do good. He doesn't ever want to do anything that is contrary to God's will. And so as I was thinking about that, specifically their conversion and what my husband had said, it made me realize that I don't think that my husband was envious of their conversion level. I think he was envious of their conversion experience, where here in the scriptures, it seems like they had this massive conversion that was almost immediate, right? And it made me think how important it is to recognize these stories in the scriptures, especially these seemingly miraculous, huge, immediate conversions, because we have several examples of immediate conversion, right? We have the story of Enos. Here it seems like the people of King Benjamin have that, even though we know that even before this experience, they were already really good people. We see it with Alma the Younger. We have all of these stories of miraculous conversions. And so it might be easy to look at those experiences and think, man, I must not have the same level of conversion because I haven't experienced that kind of thing that has led to my conversion. But I think it's really important to note that more often than not, conversion is a process and it comes a little bit at a time. The important part is that the end result is the same, that we end up with a converted heart that has zero desire to do wrong, but just wants to do good continually. Because I don't think our conversion was meant to be immediate. I don't think it was meant to be dramatic. I think Heavenly Father expected us to work for our conversion and to work it out, to have that wrestle before God multiple times in our lives to experience and maintain this level of conversion. I also think it's important to note that it doesn't say in this scripture that from that day forward, they went and did no more evil, but did good continually. It said that they didn't want to do bad things anymore. They just wanted to do good. Did they make mistakes after this, that they had to repent and turn back to Christ? Absolutely. We all will. No matter our conversion experience, no matter how recent or long it's been since we feel like we've had conversion, we will continue to make mistakes. We will continue to mess up. But I love that it's defining conversion here as a desire to not do wrong, but to do good continually. And for most of us, it's going to be a process throughout our lives of having experiences with conversion that renew this type of desire in our hearts. President Benson once said, "Becoming Christ-like is a lifetime pursuit, and very often involves growth and change that is slow, almost imperceptible. But we must not lose hope. The Lord is pleased with every effort, even the tiny daily ones, in which we strive to be more like Him." And so I just wanted to talk about that briefly here at the beginning, about this conversion and how our job in our lives is not to have one miraculous conversion, but to every day make choices that help us to become more like the Savior and help our hearts to become more and more converted to Him. Okay, so let's continue on in verse 12 of Mosiah chapter 5. Verse 12 says, "I say unto you, I would that ye should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye are not found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice by which ye shall be called, and also the name which He shall call you." I love this verse and what it teaches us about what we're placing at the center of our hearts. Here, King Benjamin is telling his people that what he wants most for them is for them to write the name of Jesus Christ on their hearts and to always keep it there. Now, if we were sitting in a classroom, I would use the blackboard and we would draw this out on the board. So since we're not together, you're just going to have to envision it, okay? But I want you to picture a heart. And at that heart, we're going to point a bunch of arrows. Now, the reason we're going to point a bunch of arrows is because what we place at the center of our heart determines a lot of different things in our lives. First of all, it determines our identity. What we place at the center of our heart leads us to develop an identity based on that. It also determines our self-worth. If something is so important to us that we place it at the center of our heart, we often base our worth on that thing. It can determine our decision-making or our discernment. I would write our strength to act, the standards that we keep, our source of direction, things like that. I would have arrows with those type of things all pointing towards the heart. Now, I want you to picture, let's pretend like we're going to put at the center of that heart business success or money. If that is what's placed at the center of our heart, then all of a sudden our identity relies on how successful our business is or how much money is in our bank account. We will get our self-worth from that checkbook, right? We will make decisions. Our discernment will come based on what will increase our business or our wealth. Our standards are all of a sudden going to mold to what is at the center of our heart, right? Our standards will mold to what will get us to succeed. And our source of direction, what we're going to do, will rely on what is going to help us with that center. Now, I'm not saying in the slightest that being successful is bad or wrong. It's not. I believe that God wants us to be successful. I believe that He wants to help us be successful. But if that's what we're placing at our core, at our center, I want you to imagine that all of a sudden something happens and that's taken. Maybe your business goes bankrupt and you have to file for bankruptcy and you're starting over and you don't have the money that you used to have. What happens to your identity if it was wrapped up in your business or your success? What happens to your self-worth? What happens to the choices that you make, your standards, your source of direction? All of that crumbles if all of a sudden your business crumbles. And it's a really dangerous thing for people. But here, King Benjamin is telling us that he wants us to write the name of Jesus Christ on our hearts and to always keep it in our hearts. Because my friends, we can write a whole lot of things in our hearts. We can write business success. We can even write family. That's a good thing, right? But if someone passes away or if a divorce happens, if that begins to crumble, we then begin to crumble as our identity, our worth, our discernment, our strength to act, our standards, our source of direction all crumbles with it. My friends, King Benjamin is asking us to write the name of Christ on our hearts because that is the one thing that will never, ever fail us. We can have faith to write Him on our hearts knowing that it is secure. And when we do that, when the name of Christ is written securely in our hearts, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what the world says about us. We receive our identity from Christ, from God. We receive our self-worth from them. Our discernment and our judgment comes by what they would have us do. We receive our strength to act from them. Our standards come from them. They become the source of direction for our lives. And that foundation is a foundation that can never be taken away from us. It is the only safe, only secure thing to write on our hearts. My friends, I testify that writing anything else upon our hearts, even if they are good things, is not the foundation that God wants for us. He wants our foundation to be built upon the rock of our Savior, so that when the difficulties come, when the storms come, when the hardship comes, it won't shake us and it won't matter because our identity is wrapped up in Christ. Our self-worth is wrapped up in Christ. We make our decisions based in Him. Our strength comes from Him. Our standards come from Him. And He is the source of all our direction. My friends, I testify that that is the only sure and safe place to center our hearts in this life. And when we do that, we can feel of His love in greater abundance and we can feel safe in His arms. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.